UMH Podcast, el campus sonoro de la Universidad Miguel Hernández.
Hi everyone, this is 2026 first episode of A Taller Mountain, a podcast about women in English literature, and this is episode 12. I'm Natalia Hernández, a teacher of English at the Official School of Languages in Elche. Thank you so much for accompanying me on this journey into the work of women creators, women writers. And if you let me love you, but why read women? For me, it is not just for pleasure or personal interest, but also for a sense of historical justice. Historically, publishing, education, and literary canons have favored men. We all know Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Charles Dickens, we could go on and on. Additionally, men dominate the major literary prizes. Since its founding in 1969, only 33.3% of Booker Prize winners have been women. But remember, the Booker Prize is the world's most significant award for a single work of fiction. The Pulitzer also has a 33.3% female winner rate. And only 15% of Nobel Prize winners for literature are women. Is our work not good enough? Our capacities lower? Our imaginations and creativity not comparable to men's? What's going on is that women's perspectives have been historically underrepresented, that women's work has been systematically undervalued, systematically ignored and underpaid. This is a simple fact that cannot be disputed. Reading women helps correct that imbalance and brings forward our voices. Voices that have been excluded, not because of quality, but because of sex. So, let's read women. A Taller Mountain has been born of the collaboration between the Official School's Media Center, Mediateca, and the UMH, Universidad Miguel Hernández. I really hope you enjoy spending this time together. Our podcast can be found on iVoox, please subscribe, and also on the websites of the Official School of Languages and UMH Radio. With us today, we have Charlotte, a teacher of French at the Official School of Languages, an avid reader. And with her, we're going to talk about a great author, Joanne Kathleen Rowling, that is, J.K. Rowling. Thanks a lot for coming to A Taller Mountain, Charlotte.
Thanks for having me.
And now, I hope you're all ready for our first section, A Woman's Life. Take me out tonight. J.K. Rowling is a British author, best known for creating the Harry Potter series, one of the most successful literary franchises in history. Born Joanne Rowling on July the 31st, 1965, in Yate, England, she started to love writing when she was just a girl. She attended the University of Exeter, where she studied French and classics, and she wrote only as a hobby in her spare time. After graduating from university, Rowling had several jobs. In 1990, travelling by train from Manchester to London, Rowling began to form the idea for her Harry Potter books while the train was delayed. She had plenty of ideas and would write them down on scraps of paper whenever they came to her. At a certain point, she spent 18 months teaching in Portugal and in her spare time began to plan out the whole Harry Potter story. She married Portuguese television journalist Jorge Arantes in October 1992, and the couple had a daughter, Jessica, in July 1993, but they separated in November the same year. Rowling reportedly felt like a failure. She still hadn't got over her mother's death and ended up having to move back to the UK following the end of her marriage. With no job, a divorce, and now living in relative poverty, she felt her life had hit an all-time low. After years of financial hardship, she published Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone in 1997, launching a global phenomenon that includes 7 novels, blockbuster films, and an expansive cultural legacy. The Harry Potter series has been recognized by a host of awards since the initial publication of The Philosopher's Stone, including a Platinum Award from the Whittaker Gold and Platinum Book Awards, and 2 Scottish Arts Council Book Awards, among others. J.K. Rowling writes multiple genres, most famously fantasy with the Harry Potter series, but also crime fiction in the Cormoran Strike series, for which she uses a pseudonym, Robert Galbraith, and one standalone adult fiction, The Casual Vacancy. Apart from that, she's also written children's books such as The Ichabod and The Christmas Pig, alongside companion books for the Wizarding World. Beyond her writing, Rowling has been an outspoken public figure on social and political issues, particularly feminism. She has stated that her views are shaped by concerns about women's rights, sex-based protections, and her own experiences with domestic abuse. She's also created a charitable trust that focuses on alleviating social deprivation in Scotland, with a particular emphasis on women and children. Among other things, her trust supports projects for female prisoners and for survivors of domestic and sexual abuse. So, Charlotte, I finally succeeded in bringing you here.
Yes. When there's a will, there's a way.
Oh, and I'm happy about that. Okay. Well, we're both moms of kids, and my kids started reading Harry Potter thanks to your kid. So I really must thank you.
Well, it's okay. I'm really glad your children now love J.K. Rowling. I spend very, very nice moments reading Harry Potter's stories to my son in the evenings. We really enjoy that moments. I have been a great reader as a child. Maybe because my father refused to have a television at home.
That's a good idea.
At the moment, I wasn't very happy with that, but now I'm happy he did it. Books are friends that never let you down.
Indeed. Listen, there's a beautiful story about how and where she wrote the first Harry Potter book, isn't there? Could you tell us this story, please?
Sure. As you said before, there was this time when she was living with very serious personal hardships, like her mother's death, her marriage, and then her divorce in Portugal. Rowling moved to Edinburgh with her small daughter, Jessica, and lived on state benefits. There in Edinburgh, she would take Jessica in her pram to local cafes, waiting for the girl to sleep so she could write in notebooks, filling pages with notes and manuscript pages. She used handwriting.
I can't imagine how she could do that. Well, that's amazing. She moved from living on state benefits to becoming a multimillionaire.
Yes, that's really amazing. And listen to this. This is really astonishing. Her manuscript was rejected by 12 publishers. 12. Can you believe that?
I can't.
Before it was accepted by number 13. That's Bloomsbury Publishing. And then the book was finally published in 1997. But the publishers, again, asked her to sign as J.K., not with her real name, Joanne, because they thought the young readers wouldn't buy a book written by a woman.
Oh,
that's really
what
sad.
A surprise. Not a surprise.
J comes from Joanne, her real name, but the letter K is from Kathleen. She chose Kathleen, it was the name of her grandmother.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
And then, as everybody knows, this book was a global success.
Fine. How do you think the Harry Potter series has influenced people?
Well, I do believe that in some way the Harry Potter series has motivated children to read. And that's so, so great. You know, I strongly believe in the power of reading, and I always recommend it to my students. J.K. Rowling's books blend entertainment with also the qualities of high-quality literature fiction. Mm-hmm. So it's true that I do not like the prolific merchandise that exists around Harry Potter. I'm concerned, and it has this consumerist side, you know.
No.
Many children love the Harry Potter pajamas or the school backpack, and they haven't read a single book.
I don't like that at all.
You know, I've done some research for this episode, and I found out that a real-life version of the sport Quidditch, it's in the Harry Potter books, if you remember.
Yes.
It was created in 2005. I'm a French teacher, remember?
Yeah, you did very well. You self-corrected. Yes, that's very nice.
So this sport was created and featured as an exhibition tournament in the 2012 London Olympics. I really love to see a match of that
too.
Sport. In the book, the boys, they move around on flying brooms. So how do they do it in real life?
No idea.
Hey, another curious fact I came across while doing my research, Natalia. You know, I'm fond of biology topics since my brother has become a biologist. Well, did you know that characters and elements from the series have inspired scientific names of several organisms?
Oh, really?
Yes. You know, when a researcher, when he found out a species that has never been described before, he or she...
Of course, or she.
Or she is allowed to choose its name in Latin. So every new species has a name, a special name in Latin. And if you find it, you have the right to choose the name. And, for example, there is a dinosaur that's called Dracorex Hogwartsia.
Oh, Hogwarts. From Hogwarts.
Yeah, like the school.
And what is that?
A dinosaur, you said.
Yes.
There are also a spider from India that is called Eriovixia Gryffindori, like Gryffindor.
Yes.
And then a crab also called Harry Plax Severus. So Harry and Severus, they're both characters. So the researchers, I think that they named them because they must have been Harry Potter's fans.
That's incredible and very nice.
Okay. Harry Potter is a cultural phenomenon, really.
Yes. Listen, and why do you enjoy reading Harry Potter?
Well, I love reading the series for various reasons, you know. On the one hand, for its magical, immersive world. The author has created it with so many details. It's amazing. The characters are also relatable. Harry, Ron, Hermione. And also, it tackles themes like friendship, like courage, good versus evil, and above all, the topic of standing up for prejudice. I love that. Additionally, of course, The plot is gripping and fast-moving. It's a page-turner. No, you can't stop when you.
Yes.
It's like some things you eat. When you start, you cannot stop.
You can't.
And I also love the fact, of course, that my son really enjoys reading Harry Potter.
Yes. I'm interested, you know, in folk culture, in folklore, and I find that this folklore permeates the Harry Potter books, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Folklore deeply influences Harry Potter, mainly Greek, Roman, and Celtic folklore. And it does so by providing monsters like the basilisk, the hippogriff, for example, and also you can see it in plot structures like Cinderella or the Three Brothers' Tale. This enriches J.K. Rowling's magical world with timeless themes like good versus evil, like I mentioned before, and heroism.
Charlotte, have you read any of J.K. Rowling's other books, I mean, other than Harry Potter?
No, I haven't had the chance, no, but I'd love to. When my son was a baby, it was very difficult to me to get good quality sleep. You know that.
I know.
You know how it goes.
I know how it goes.
I was so tired. I couldn't read more than one page. So I took the books, but after one page, I fell asleep. So lately, now he's 10, so lately I've been able to read a bit more, but still I don't have much time. And you?
No. I have to confess that I haven't read any of them yet. I'd love to. However, what I have read from her that is not fiction is articles, you know, mainly on social media where I follow her since she's an activist feminist. And I share many of her views. I really support her. Have you read any of her opinions online or somewhere?
I must confess, I've read very, very few of them. But I see her point, and I do agree with her too, in many ways. Especially on the fact that she's fiercely anti-authoritarian and she's an idealist. She believes in the human capacity for collaboration and mutual support. I love that.
Yeah, and I believe that shows in Harry Potter too, don't you think?
Absolutely.
You know, her views on sex and gender have provoked controversy. She's even being called a transphobic when what she says is that women's rights should be sex-based, not gender-based. It is gender, I think, that should be abolished. You know, the World Health Organization defines gender, and I quote, as the characteristics of women, men, girls and boys that are socially constructed. It's a social construction, therefore, it is gender we should do away with.
Mm. Well, now I feel really curious about her activism and her articles. I'd love to read more.
You love them. We're finishing now, Charlotte, so I'm going to ask you the two questions I ask my guests at the end of every episode. And number one is there any quote by her, by J.K. Rowling, that you especially like?
Well, yes. There's one by the main female character in Harry Potter, Hermione. It goes like this, and I quote, "Books and cleverness. There are more important things, friendship and bravery."
That's fantastic. And very, very much true. Look, I'll give you my own quote today, my own favorite quote by J.K. Rowling. And it goes like this. I quote, "Woman is not a costume. Woman is not an idea in a man's head." Okay, now, here goes my second and last question for you today. Do you recommend reading J.K. Rowling to students of English or to everyone?
Of course, no doubt. As I said before, it's extremely entertaining and its language is really accessible. It motivates reading through its captivating storytelling, and it makes learning English real fun.
Thanks for coming here today, Charlotte. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed the experience.
Absolutely. It's been wonderful.
And now let's get ready for our next section on screen. All of you have heard about and more than probably watched the Harry Potter films. However, what you may not know is the fact that there is a recent documentary on HBO, Harry Potter 20th Anniversary, there's a musical, a theatre play, and even a theme park in London. If you have the chance, go. I'll leave you the link to a documentary about this phenomenal writer that you can watch for free on YouTube. Enjoy. It's fairly obvious that none of you should miss J.K. Rowling's official website. It is funnily divided into two sections, one for adults and another one for kids and young adults. I'll post the link on iVoox. There are dozens of video games that are based on the Harry Potter series. These games have sold over 90 million units. I'll post the link to one of those that you can download for free. I haven't been able to understand how it works, but you may. I'll also leave you the link to one of the articles I really enjoyed, whose title is, a bit long, J.K. Rowling writes about her reasons for speaking out on sex and gender issues. Hope you find it interesting. I'll also leave you the link to a video where she is interviewed by a journalist from The Guardian. It'll take you only 10 minutes to watch. Don't miss it. Before we go, it would be wonderful, Charlotte, if you could read Legacy to our listeners, the poem by Rupi Kaur, which inspired the name of this podcast. Will you please do that for us?
Yes, of course. I stand on the sacrifices of a million women before me, thinking, what can I do to make this mountain taller so the women after me can see farther?
Charlotte, thanks again. You've made this mountain taller today with us, doing this podcast and, of course, our listeners too. You, all of us together, we are making this mountain taller. We have to say goodbye. I hope you have enjoyed this episode, and I hope you tune in with us for our next episode in about a month's time. You'll find the link to this podcast, as well as those links I mentioned on the section on screen, posted on the Instagram page of the Official School of Languages. Subscribe, please, to our program at Olemanten on iVoox, and do not forget to give us a like if you enjoyed it. My chase is endless. I tend to obsess. It will also be available, of course, on the school's website and on UMH Radio's website. A huge thank you to you, Charlotte, again, for joining us today, and to the entire staff of UMH Radio. In the technical team today, Borja Cabrera. Bye. If you let me love you, I will love you to death. I'm petrified of emptiness and let aside the loneliness. The lovers tend to break me in two. If you
UMH. UNH Podcast, el campus sonoro de la Universidad Miguel Hernández.